Hey guys, I'm Megan.
And I don't remember how to do this. But welcome to another week of Tales of the Wicked.
Hello and welcome back to Tales of the Wicked. So it's been like, what, 2 weeks since we've recorded?
Yeah, long time.
Yeah, we had audio issues. Like, we already recorded the one we're about to record right now. We already had it done and the audio was just terrible because we were testing out different things with different mics and it just didn't work out, which I'm sure you could hear from the Golden Hour episode. But that one was just too cute. We had to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
And
we
then,
had too much fun making that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, and then we tried to record from home, and we just had so many, like, connection issues, and so.
It did not work out.
Yeah, we're so, back in person, yes. Back on Sid's couch.
We're sitting together. We just stuffed ourselves with podcast peanuts and french fries.
Oh, God.
And we're ready to go.
Yeah, so how was your Christmas, Sid?
It's actually really good. We had to make a ton of different stops. So I had to see my dad. My parents are divorced. So my mom, my dad, grandparents, John's family. But it actually worked out really nice. And it was warm here in Ohio. It was not your typical white Christmas.
Oh, it was so nice.
But it was actually kind of really nice. And I enjoyed it. Except for I had to change my outfit the day of Christmas.
Oh my God.
How did I make it? I was so mad. I was going to wear a turtleneck and then I woke up that day and I was like, I don't think a turtleneck's going to work out today. I might sweat too much. But it was a good Christmas. Everyone liked the gifts that they got and stuff and it was very nice. How was yours?
Good. Oh, it was good. Again, like with you, lots of family to go see. I was at my mom's house Christmas Eve. We played the most frustrating round of phase 10.
Megan did not win, by the way.
Okay, so here's the thing with this. So Aaron's really pissed me off. It was four consecutive, like, turns. Like, not in just one phase, but, like, four turns in a row where he hit me with every skip possible, and I didn't lay one card down. I'm like, I'm not even playing. Why am I sitting at this table?
Oh, so, isn't that the worst?
I left.
I remember when you did that at a round of phase 10.
Well, see,
10.
That was just one turn. That's okay. It was four whole turns. Like,
isn't that what happened? Like, you had all four skips in your hand and you kept playing them down?
In
like
just
laying
one
them down?
Phase.
Oh,
I'm
oh,
talking
I see.
Four separate
yes,
phases.
I get what you're
like,
saying now. Okay. That's funny.
And then I played Super Mario Party, and in about four different times, like four different turns, the computers kept moving the star when I was one space away. And then my
the
brother
worst.
Kyle was like, I've never seen this happen to anyone so many times in one game. I'm like, well, that's just the night. It's Christmas Eve. Why not screw me over again?
Right, right. Did Megan's little one, Parker, it was his very first Christmas this year. Did he get was Santa good to him and bring him everything he wanted?
We are overflowing with clothes and toys.
Did he like show interest in opening the gifts?
He was really interested in eating the paper they were wrapped in.
That's good.
That was it.
Oh, okay.
No, but he got a lot. He got, my mom got him this toy that's supposed to be like a camper.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got like a wagon, lots of stuffed animals, toys, clothes. This baby has everything he could ever need. So he made out on Christmas.
He was on the nice list this year.
Oh yeah.
That's funny. We also played phase 10 at my family's Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandma, who we call Sweet Gran, it's her first time playing ever. And like, she took like 2 minutes on each of her turns to like think about, she was like, I gotta speculate on this. And she'd pick up a card and be like, do I want to save it? Do I want to put it down? And we were like, dude, you just gotta play your hand. Like, let's keep it moving.
Oh,
she won
Gran.
The entire game.
I'm glad she did.
We kept points and she had the least amount of points and she finished all 10 phases first. Dang, Sweet Gran.
Good job, Sweet Gran.
She's doing the best out here.
I'm excited to go to Vegas with her.
Oh, yes, Sweet Gran is going to Vegas. Oh, gosh, that'll be funny.
She's
going to
be on my honeymoon with me.
Yeah. You, Aaron, and Sweet Gran.
Me and Sweet Gran and Sweet Grandpa will go for a nice romantic dinner with Aaron.
Stop. That would be so cute. I did. Okay, so I tried to say this last week. Actually, I tried to say this and then everything cut off and it went really bad. But so in the Golden Hour episode, we gave a shout out to John for sending in questions and stuff.
Yeah.
So I had to give a shout out to Aaron because he took our pictures for us that we posted on our Instagram with our like new sweaters that we made and everything. He made a whole background for us and made sure that we were posed correctly. So now we'll shout out Aaron and tell him thank you.
Yeah, thanks, I guess. Whatever.
Well, I'm saying thank you then. But yeah, so we have an episode for you that's been, we tried to record two times now and it hasn't worked out.
We already recorded this one and then we tried two other times to record it. Yeah. So basically have these notes memorized.
Yeah, Megan doesn't even have to look at her. This is Megan's case.
Yes.
She's not even going to have to look at her computer. She can recite it word for word. And it's a gruesome one, and I don't want to hear it again. I'm scared.
It's a fun one. Well, at least you know what's coming this time, because last time it all surprised
yeah,
you.
Yeah, so my shock factor is going to be a little gone this time, but if you could see my face right now, it's still just as horrified as the first time I heard it.
Yeah, and then after this, we're going to record Sid's episode that we were supposed to record last week, and then next week you're going to get another set of two just because we've been so backed up. So
yeah,
so you got, it worked out nicely for you guys.
It did. All kinds of good stuff. And we want to thank everyone because we made our post on Instagram about, you know, how everything kind of hasn't been working out. But we have all the other episodes that we've uploaded and a lot of people went to go listen to them. And it was really awesome and we really appreciate it and wanted to thank you.
And we've been getting more ratings on Apple Podcasts and now you can rate on Spotify, which is really cool.
Yep.
So if you guys haven't already on either one of those, go ahead and give us a little rating.
Yeah. Which actually, I can't remember. I think I did tell you this. I wore my Tales of the Wicked, speaking of the sweater that we like got I'm pictures right with now. And stuff. Yeah, Megan's wearing hers now. I wore it out like in public the one day and everyone was like, what's on your, like they see the Grim Reaper on it. And they're like, what's on your sweater? What is that? And I'm like, oh, it's a podcast that me and my friend have. So it's really cool. And I maybe it worked because we just got a ton of new listeners. So.
Yeah. I think we've like, I'm not even kidding. The past 2 days have had like 20 or 30 new plays in general and total.
Yeah, it's awesome. So thank you.
I'll wear mine out in public and I feel like no one's looking at my sweater enough. So I'll like adjust it and pull it down. I'm like, okay,
puff your chest out.
Can they see it better now?
Right. You go to like check out and you're like, Tales of the Wicked. Yeah, okay, here you go. Here's my cash. Listen to my podcast. Like and rate on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Alrighty, you ready to get into it?
I'm ready to get into it.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about the Covina Massacre. Do you remember everything that happened in this?
Yeah, I do. I can't wait. Just read it to me again.
All right. So
I actually thought about this case on Christmas. I'm not going to lie.
Good.
Oh, yay. Great. Did
it boost your spirits?
Oh, no, it didn't boost. I was looking around at like my brothers and everything, and I was like, holy cow, what if that happened to me? But it's not going to. All right, let the fans know about this dumb case. It's not dumb. It's
very sad.
It's very sad, yeah. So let's start crying. I'm ready.
All right, so it is Christmas Eve in the year of 2008. You know, it's the perfect time to be surrounded by your family and your friends, everyone you love most. Holiday cheer is just in the air. Everyone's spirits are high.
Mm-hmm.
We're all nice and jolly, all cozied up at home. And then this was definitely the case for the Ortega family. They were having their annual family Christmas party. It was hosted by Joseph Ortega, also known as Papa Joe.
Papa Joe.
Little Papa Joe. His wife. Okay, so I saw in different sources, she was either Alicia or Alice.
Okay.
I saw it listed as both ways, so I'm not exactly sure. But they do have a daughter named Alicia, so I'm just going to call the mother Alice.
Okay.
Just so that way we don't get them mixed up.
Yeah, right.
They were there with their adult children. They were around the dining room table just playing a game of Texas Hold'em. A few of their grandkids were out playing. Okay, so this was, I forget if I already said this, but this was in California. So they were, like, playing outside. I think they had, like, a pool in the backyard or something.
Definitely not snowing in California on Christmas.
Definitely not.
And they're not playing Phase 10. They're playing Texas Hold'em. So this is where it all goes wrong.
Yeah. They had a couple more of their grandkids and, like, friends and other family members just in the house, like, in the living room, kitchen area. Their 17-year-old grandson, Michael, was on the second floor in their computer room, and then they had a knock at the door. Eager to welcome the unsuspected holiday guest, Ortega's 8-year-old granddaughter, Katrina, was met at the door by the man who she has probably always dreamed of seeing at the door on Christmas Eve, Santa. Unfortunately, this wouldn't be like the other classic holiday stories. Immediately upon his arrival, quote unquote, Santa, pulled out a gun and shot the young girl in the face.
God.
Thankfully, this shot would not be fatal, though. So I read that at the, like, last second, she turned her head and the bullet, like, hit her cheek and went into her jaw.
Okay.
So that, like, saved her from dying or having any, like, more serious injuries or anything like that. So I just wanted to say, like, right off the bat, like, she didn't die. She's okay. I mean, obviously she's gonna come out with a lot of trauma.
Yeah, I was gonna say a lot of other issues.
Yeah, but I wanted to just
clarify that.
Clarify really right quick. Away that she did survive. So thank God for that one. The man continued into the house and just began shooting all the other members he could. Joseph and three of his daughters hid under the table for cover. But sadly, this didn't help them at all. Joseph, Alice, and Sylvia, one of their daughters, would be the first to fall victim to the Santa slayings. Along with the gun, he also brought a box that looked like a wrap present, which contained an air compressor that he made to spread gasoline throughout the house. So he just basically turned it into a homemade flamethrower. And I read on one of my sources, so I don't know, like, if this part was true, but it said, like, there was an explosion. I mean, I'm sure it's a box with, like, compressed air and gas and fire, so I'm sure there was a tiny one.
And who knows how well he was able to make this contraption.
I mean, it was homemade. It's not made well.
Right.
It was said from one of the neighbors, a teenage boy came running from the house screaming, quote, "They shot my family." A 16-year-old girl who I believe her name was Amanda, she was shot in the back, but she was able to run away and escape. Leticia, the mother of Katrina, so she's one of the Ortega daughters.
Okay.
She was able to escape with her two daughters and her husband, fleeing to a nearby friend's house until this chaos settled. They called the authorities and got Katrina to the hospital. Okay, some of the family members were able to identify the man in the Santa suit, actually, like, with all the chaos going on and just everything at that horrible scene. He was identified as 45 Bruce Pardo. He was the ex-husband of Sylvia. So I don't know if you remember me mentioning her earlier. She was one of the first to get shot. But she was
under the table with her mom and dad.
Yeah, she was one of the ones playing Texas Hold'em. They had finalized their divorce just a week before on December 18th, and some sources say that he, like, became obsessed with the separation. Like, he did not want this to happen at all.
Clearly, something's going on here.
Yeah, and he decided that he was going to hurt her in the worst way that they could, well, the worst way he could, killing her and everyone she loves, or at least tried to.
Yeah.
The fire left some of the bodies burned beyond recognition, only being identified by dental records. Of the 25-plus guests, so, like, this was a big party.
Yeah, and if they were married, then he obviously knows that they do this party every year. Mm-hmm. It was a perfect setup. Everyone's going to be there. She's going to be there.
Yeah, and I do believe, I think I mentioned this later, but I'm pretty sure, like, his mom, Bruce's mom, took Sylvia's side in the divorce, and I'm pretty sure she was at the Christmas party. Or she was supposed to be at the Christmas party. I only saw one of my sources cite that, so I wasn't sure exactly which one it was.
Right.
But I think she was on the hit list because she took the ex-wife's side in the divorce. Yeah.
Well, maybe because he has something messed up with him inside.
Yeah.
I wonder.
So of the 25-plus guests at the Ortega's home, That night, 9 of them would lose their lives. The victims who passed away, I just wanted to mention them really quick.
Mm-hmm.
They include Joseph, who is 80, and his wife, Alice or Alicia, Sylvia, 43, her brother, Charles, 49, and his wife, it's either Sherry or Cherry.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sherry.
Okay.
She was 45. James, who was one of the Ortega children,
mm-hmm.
51, and his wife, Teresa, 52. Alicia, one of the kids, she was 46. And unfortunately, the youngest one was her son, Michael, who was 17. He was the one that was upstairs on the computer. I'm pretty sure he, like, got stuck up there. Because I'm pretty sure he was up there with the 20-year-old woman who we believe her name was Amanda. I think she was able to, like, jump out of a window or something. And I think she hurt. It might have been her or someone else. But I remember reading that, like, they were upstairs together and she jumped out of a window and injured her foot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he got trapped up there because of all the flames and he passed away. But I'm not sure if he got shot or if he died in the fire.
It was just the fire. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't want to jump out of a window either. But if there was flames and stuff, I feel like I would rather risk breaking a leg or a foot or something like that. But
yeah, I mean, again, he might have been trapped by the flames. Like,
right, you have no idea. And it's easy to think about it and to be like, oh, I would do this in this kind of situation.
Yeah, but you never know how you're going to react. Yeah,
and I hope that I never have to learn how I'm going to react in it either.
Well, I mean, when my kitchen caught on fire back in, like, what, 2017?
It's been a while.
2016. I always thought, like, my gut reaction would be like, oh, like, I need to figure this out. Like, I need to get us out of here. Mm-hmm. No, when my house caught on fire, my first reaction was to call my mom, who lived an hour away. And then I left my husband in the house but got my dog out of the house.
Fend for yourself. I'm going to call Monica.
So clearly, I don't have the best, like, panic right. reaction yeah. to things.
Right.
So yeah, you never know how you're going to react to that. According to Wikipedia, quote, at least 3 victims' deaths were caused by gunshot wounds alone. While 4 others died from a combination of both gunshot wounds and fire, 2 other deaths stemmed from the fire alone. Pardo was said to have $17,000 strapped to his body with plans to escape to Canada. He had a rental car that was parked, I think, just a couple blocks away from the home, and it already had plane tickets and everything ready. I also believe that he had a friend that lived in Canada, and he had, like, reached out and was like, hey, like, I'm going to come visit you for the holidays. Is that okay? Because I believe, like, right before the divorce, he went out and visited that friend as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't seem odd for him to just, like, reach out and go stay with that friend.
Right. Yeah.
Especially because he knew that he was going through the divorce. So.
Right. And if someone asked to stay with me, the last thing that I would think is that they're running away because they just dressed up as Santa Claus, created a flamethrower, and killed a family.
Yeah. This kind of prediction is definitely not, like, on your radar for one of your good friends.
Exactly.
This escape plan that he had laid out is not how things ended up turning up for him. In the explosion, he suffered deep burns, and his Santa suit actually settled into his burned skin, which, I mean, like, usually, like, oh, ouch, but no, good.
No,
fuck you.
Good, yeah.
So I'm glad he got really injured. Yes. I wish it could have just ended there.
No, we needed to drag out a little bit.
Yeah, but instead, he drove to his brother's house, which was roughly 30 minutes away. I read that his brother was not home at this time, so I don't believe he had any idea what Bruce was up to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he had any part of this. But when he got to his brother's house, he ended up shooting himself in the head where he would die of suicide. I think it was the garage maybe where I remember I read somewhere
where
he did it, but I researched this like 3 weeks ago, yeah, so I don't remember now. Bruce supposedly also had plans. So he had like a little list of people. So it was like his mom, his ex-wife, and then he had also set out to kill his ex-wife's lawyer in the divorce. But I think what his plan was to like go to the holiday party, you know, like get his wife or his ex-wife, his mom all in one shot, and then I think her lawyer lived not too far away, so he was going to go do the lawyer next
mm-hmm.
and then escape after that. But he ended up not being able to do that because he had to go take care of his burns and just decided to take the the other way out. Mm-hmm. So
also, like, how do you escape from that? You know what I mean? Like, if there's flames and screaming and people are running out of this house, like, I don't even understand how the neighbors just, then again, if there's a man with a gun, I'm not going to do anything for him.
Well, what his plan was like, he was going to park his car, and then he had that other car that he had planted a couple blocks over.
Mm-hmm.
So he was going to run in, you know, shoot everyone, set the house on fire, and then probably make it look like he could run out like everyone else, like in the commotion, like everyone's running from the house.
Mm-hmm.
So people wouldn't, but then again, he's in a Santa suit.
Yeah, right.
So I think his thinking was like, he'd be able to just go in, do that, run out while everything is chaotic and everyone else is running away.
Yeah.
And then just run like a couple blocks over to his rental car. Bruce and Sylvia had been married for about 2 years, and I saw on Murderpedia that the reason for the divorce was rumored to be because he had hid the fact that he had a child from a previous relationship. And I wasn't able to find out much information, but I did find out that this child, unfortunately, had suffered some injuries from a swimming pool accident. Like, it didn't exactly say what happened,
mm-hmm.
but you can only assume, like, he maybe was, like, diving and, like, landed wrong,
right,
or
yeah.
slipped and fell, or...
Right.
I mean, so many different things can go wrong
yeah.
at a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
But it did say that he was left with permanent damages.
Uh-huh.
But, like, it didn't really
go
say much about
detail.
It. Yeah. But I personally think that this massacre was the result of a man who was suffering from a major bruised ego and absolutely some underlying mental health issues that never came to surface. I mean, he had lost his wife. Not lost his wife, but, like, he...
He was getting divorced, yeah.
Yeah, and then shortly after that, he lost his job. It was reported that he had been caught logging hours of work that he didn't actually, like, do.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, like, getting all these free hours
yeah.
that he didn't work at all.
Right.
He had worked as an electrical engineer. I mean, obviously, there's never an excuse to do anything like this,
mm-hmm.
but... Of course, he had to have an excuse.
Yeah, right.
So that was his reasoning, I guess. But, yeah.
I'm so mad that I had to hear this case again.
That was the Covina massacre.
I forgot some parts. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember everything that happened. And I forgot about, like, the Santa suit, like, basically, like, sticking to his skin and,
yeah.
and the burns. And I forgot... about the other son that he had, and because I just heard the case once and I blocked it out of my memory.
You kind of, it was like, once you heard that Katrina got shot in the face, you were just like, all right, and
yeah.
I'm mentally clocking
and
out.
And I don't care anymore. This is
yeah.
this is terrible. I don't know what it, I don't, maybe because it, like, he, I, all cases are sad, and all true crime cases are like, why does this happen to people?
Yeah.
And I don't know how to, like, you never think something like that's going to happen to you, but literally what we're doing is finding cases every single week and reading them, and it's just like, it's making me become paranoid is what I think it's doing.
Oh, and
I'm already paranoid, but now I'm just even more paranoid.
Yeah, but I feel like that kind of gives us a leg up on things. Like, I was talking to Aaron about us going to Vegas. He was like, oh, like, if we get separated, like, I want to make sure you're being smart. I'm like, do you think, okay, with me first off spending all my time listening to true crime podcasts and then having one of my own, do you really think I'm going to be naive enough to not be looking out for things while I'm walking
yeah.
around? Like,
right. Actually, speaking of it, I don't know why, but I always get paranoid going to movies all the time.
I can't sit through a movie.
Right. And I know we've
anymore.
Talked about this before. Like,
mm-hmm.
you've left the movie before because of something happening. John and I went to see the new Spider-Man movie opening night.
Mm-hmm.
And the theater was completely packed. It's opening night. This movie's supposed
Ooh.
To be huge. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's a really, like, big movie. There's this guy that comes in. He sit by himself, which is fine. You want to see a movie by yourself? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
He was wearing a hat, and then he wasn't wearing a normal mask. He was wearing, like, the long scarf things that you pull up over, like, your face. So all you could see was his eyes, and
those
that was
make
it.
Me so uneasy.
Yeah. So he came in. He sat down right next to John. Like, and he came
Ooh.
In late. Like, the movie had already started, and then he came in. And then randomly in the middle of the movie, he stood up, but, like, had his rolled bag of popcorn and everything, like, took his stuff with him And he walked in front of us, and John and I were both staring at each other. I literally, like, sat up because we were in the very back row. I literally, like, sat up, like, in my seat and watched this man walk all the way downstairs and out the door. And it's just, like, he came back eventually, and then he, like, had, like, a new bag of popcorn or whatever. Like, this man was just trying to get more popcorn. Yeah. But I don't know what it was. Like, he stood up, and I was like, okay, well, he showed up late anyways. Mm-hmm. He's completely covered, but, like, we're in a pandemic. Everyone's covered up. Yeah. But, and then he got up and took all of his belongings with him, which makes sense. He came alone. He's not just going to leave his stuff, like, sitting there. He doesn't know John and I. But I was like, he meant no harm at all. And for some reason, when he got up, my heart just, like, dropped, and I was like, oh my god, is he gonna, am I gonna die, am I gonna, so I was literally sitting there thinking, we had like the recliner seats, and I was like, okay, I could crawl underneath the seat, but then, you know, this case here, they got underneath the table, and you know, you can do whatever you want to do,
it's like probably not gonna help really.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not gonna run, we're in a theater, like there's people everywhere, they're all gonna try going out of this one door, and I was like, I'm gonna be screwed. But that obviously didn't happen, but it was just weird because I was thinking about it in the middle of the movie just because one man wanted to go get more popcorn.
I actually had a very similar experience. This was years, I don't even remember. It was some action movie, I don't know. But me, Aaron and I, we were like still like freshly, like we weren't even engaged yet. Mm-hmm. We were like freshly dating. Mm-hmm. And we were in the back of the theater, and like it was in the middle, it was like this big action movie. I don't remember which one it was, but like there were like fast cars and like gun fights, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I was already paranoid enough to be in the theater. Mm-hmm. And we were in Akron, which isn't the best area.
It's not a good area at all.
Yeah. Especially like on near Arlington, not the greatest. And so I was already on edge because of that. And then I just don't like I have really bad anxiety going to theaters because I'm stuck.
Yeah, you can't go anywhere.
And you can't see what everyone else is doing because they're all sitting in their own seats. And so I was watching the crowd more than I was watching the movie. Mm-hmm. And this guy comes in. It's like towards the end of the movie. So he had no business coming in the theater at this point.
Yeah.
And he really, like very fast, comes into the theater and just sits on the first seat on the edge. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't like that. Yeah, so I'm just like not even watching the movie at this point. I'm just staring at this guy. And he's, like, sitting with, like, his hands in his jacket pocket. Looks really fidgety. And I'm like, okay, I don't
want to be here.
Don't want any part of this.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, hey, sweetie, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. So I left him there because I figured, like, I'm just being paranoid. Mm-hmm. I was like, let me just, like, splash my face with some water. Let me relax. Like, it's fine. And I stood there for a minute, like, calmed myself down, went back to the theater. And he was still, like, making me super uncomfortable. And so I like looked at Aaron again. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry, but I have to get out of here. I'm going to leave again. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, like, what are you doing?
Right. Yeah.
And so I left again, like splash more water on my face, try to cool down, refresh, go back in there. And I'm like sitting there, like staring at this guy. And Aaron's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, that guy's making me, like, do you see that guy? He's like, yeah. I'm like, he's making me really uncomfortable. He's like, yeah, I'm actually pretty uncomfortable too. I'm like, we need to leave.
Yeah. Like this and movie so then, isn't worth it.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure we left, like, a little early. He was like, what's going on? I'm like, I had the most, like, I guess you could say paralyzing, like, gut feeling. Like, he was going to do something. He's like, and you left me in there twice? Like, well, just in case I was overreacting. Like, I don't care if you're overreacting. If you're, like, thinking that, we need to go together.
Right, yeah, don't leave me. Defend for myself.
But then another time I was in a position like that, I was in Columbus. Mm. I'm pretty sure where we saw Dance Gavin Dance at the Express.
Oh, Live. Express Live. Yeah.
I was there with my brother. We went to go see A Day to Remember.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it was his first concert. Actually, I'm pretty sure it was the day I bought my wedding dress too.
I remember you guys going to that concert too.
Yeah. Yeah. So we went together and there was this guy there who had like a trench coat on. It was like October. So like, yeah, coat season.
Yeah, not a trench coat. And it gets so hot in these concerts. You don't even, it's literally the dead of winter and we won't wear coats going into the,
Especially for A Day to Remember too, because it's like really high energy. Mm-hmm. Like everyone's moving around. You're going to be sweating the second you walk in.
Right.
So you're also late too. Like the show is already going on. Mm-hmm. And I was so uncomfortable. Like this guy kept putting his hands in his pockets. He kept like fidgeting. I was like, okay, I don't like this guy. He's like right next to us. Mm-hmm. So like instantly, instead of just like my fight or flight, it was like my maternity instincts kicked in. Cause like, this is my baby brother.
Yeah.
Like, he's my baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, this is not okay. I was like, hey Kyle, like I know the car is parked two blocks away. I actually don't want my purse. Can you go put my purse away?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, sure. So I'm like trying, while he leaves, I'm trying to like look around, like, is there security around? Like, can
right.
we do something about this situation? Like,
right.
it was like, not just like a, oh, I looked at this guy once, he made me uncomfortable. I was sitting there for like a good half hour, just the entire time. I was so uncomfortable. Like,
right.
I need to remove right. him from the situation. And then thank God it turned out we were standing in the wrong line, because there was like a restaurant with like a comedy club right next to the Express Theater.
Mm-hmm.
So we were in the wrong line, and he was the line for the comedy club, but we had to go to the next line for
yeah.
the concert venue. So by the time Kyle came back, I figured that out. I'm like, oh, like we have to move lines actually.
Yeah.
So thankfully that got us out of that, but
he was in a different spot. Yeah. I don't know.
It was not fun.
Movies and concerts. Like when we get to a concert, I'm totally fine. When we get down, like in the, I don't know if you want to say like mosh pit, or if you like get down
yeah.
up in front of the
just
stage.
Like the floor.
Yeah. The floor. You're on the floor. I'm fine and it doesn't bother me. But the second the concert's over and they turn the lights on, we're like literally pigs, like herds of people trying to go up this one set of steps and
yeah.
out the concert. I literally, every time we leave a concert, like grab onto everyone that I'm with and
mm-hmm.
I just hold on to them and make sure that I'm filing through, because it freaks. I don't know what it is about
no,
movies
yeah.
and concerts, but the two things, I mean, that's what you see on TV and all the time, is that it's some kind of concert.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one, the movie theater. Wasn't it a Batman movie?
Yeah, it was the one with Heath Ledger.
Yeah, like that's, I just, freaks me out, which is stupid. Like, I don't know.
No, I'm the, like, it drives Aaron insane. Like, I refuse to go to the theater anymore. Like,
yeah.
I can get this movie on my, like, on my
right.
TV or my computer. I don't want to watch it in the theater.
Right.
And I'm not that way as much with concerts, even though the last concert, I actually just went to a concert in November. I went to see We Came as Romans and Devil Wears Prada.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt pretty uncomfortable with that concert, but
mm-hmm.
it wasn't that bad.
That was a pretty big place too.
Yeah.
From what I saw online.
Yeah. Mr. Smalls is a big place.
It's not small.
Yeah. But I feel that way more when I'm like in a big store like Walmart.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think about it when I'm at a store.
Yeah, I feel, because there's like so many people
mm-hmm.
and like no one's watching you. It's just like, because when I went to the concert, they completely like patted down my purse, like went through my purse.
Mm-hmm.
They like wanded me down and patted me down. So I felt really secure going into that concert
because mm-hmm.
like, you know, we're going to heavy metal shows. People are there to like fuck people up most of the
yeah.
time. It's like they're always checking for something, so that always makes me feel pretty secure. But like
yeah.
big stores where people are just coming in and out all day long,
yeah, they're not checking that kind of stuff. I guess
yeah.
that makes sense. Well, now you guys know that we're two people that like to do true crime, like read stories and listen to true crime podcasts, but we're actually big babies.
Yeah, we're afraid of everything.
We are afraid of everything.
And I think that's why we find it so so interesting, because it's so terrifying. It's
yeah
like,
right,
it's one of those things, like it's just like a bad accident. Like you can't look away. Like you
right.
gotta hear more.
Yeah. Agreed. Ugh.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the, I'm sorry. This was supposed to be like a fun. This was supposed to be like the Christmas episode
yeah.
and it's coming to you like the week after Christmas. So I'm sorry about it, but you know, better late than never.
Yeah. And it's still a really good case, and it's it might be the week after Christmas, but you're still looking at all your Christmas stuff that you got. And my Christmas tree is still up and everything. So it works just fine.
My Christmas tree is staying up until after we get back from Vegas in mid-February.
Oh, that's too long. I gotta...
Well,
we're not recording the next episode because I can't handle that, and you gotta get out of my house.
But I have a good reason. Okay, so first off, it's that way every year anyways. But this year specifically, it's a good reason because my dad, who lives in Florida, he and my stepmom, they're coming up because my stepmom's going to babysit my son for the week.
Mm.
And he's so funny. He's driving her from Florida all the way to Ohio just to drive back by himself the next day. And then she's just going to fly home.
Okay.
He gets very bored. But, I mean, it makes sense. He was a truck driver for 30 years.
Oh, he likes to drive.
He loves driving.
Yeah.
And he's not a truck driver anymore, so he, like, misses driving around all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But since he's going to be here for a day, we're going to do our Christmas with him and Parker. So like, okay, we have to keep everything up because it's grandpa's first Christmas with the baby.
Yeah, whatever. That makes sense. My tree will be down.
It's okay. I'll just send you pictures of my tree.
Mm-hmm. I'll see it because I'm sure I'll be over. Gosh.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode and tune in immediately after this one
For the next episode. One. Yeah.
And thankfully, I don't know which one this is. So you'll have genuine reactions and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
let's switch on over.
Yeah. All right. Bye.
See ya.
Hey, really quick. I just wanted to make a correction. I quoted something that I said that was from Wikipedia, but it was actually from Murderpedia. So my apologies for that.